You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Today will be the first day that the Razorbacks go into full pads during this preseason camp. This afternoon, Sam Pittman, the head coach, will speak to reporters and a couple of players who we don't know who they're going to be. It's kind of like a mystery meet at the cafeteria. We don't know what we're going to get this afternoon from a player perspective, but we'll have a lot at WholeHogSports.com. So make sure to join us this evening over there for an update from the Razorbacks' first day in pads. I'm Matt Jones, joined by Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com and Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated. And today we're going to go deep on the Razorbacks' linebacker crew. But before we do that, we're going to talk about impact newcomers on this year's team. You know, you think about 2020, a player like Traylon Smith was an impact newcomer, a transfer from Arizona State. You could say that Hudson Clark was an impact newcomer last season. I don't think he played in a game before that Mississippi State game. And then obviously he was a starter for most of the rest of the season. And Scotty, there are a lot of players on this year's roster who we think could be impact newcomers. We're not going to list all of the newcomers who we think will play. I think that we're all in agreement that there's going to be a lot of newcomers that are going to play this year, whether it be at a position on offense, a position on defense. I think that you will see a lot of newcomers playing on special teams, you know, in various protection or coverage units. But let's start with this. Newcomers who you think could play this year and be impact players for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, I think in my opinion, the first place I would look is kind of the position of mystery, maybe at running back, because we've mentioned it several times already in this podcast series that the number two guy is going to be talked about a lot. And I think you've got, in terms of newcomers, it's Traylon Smith and a bunch of guys that we haven't really seen much of before. Outside of TJ Hammonds, but he's been kind of, working more with wide receivers from what we've seen. But I think AJ Green is obviously, he would be a pretty good option there. Like I mentioned yesterday, comes from a really good program in Tulsa Union. He's shown a good deal of poise in camp, according to Jimmy Smith. And I think it's always a good sign that a freshman gets to campus, kind of gets acclimated to his surroundings, and he's not overwhelmed by everything that's being thrown at him. And he's a track star. He was a track star in high school. I think he ran a 10.3 100 meters when he was a freshman at Union. So that'll play, especially when you combine all of that with the kid that's really intelligent. And then Rocket Sanders is another guy that, in the spring, he kind of got thrown into the fire a little bit. They kind of got to see what he was made of. And the only thing that I'm even the slightest bit concerned with Rocket, and I don't even know that I would classify it as concern. It's just, I think his pass protection needs to continue to come along. I think that was one of the points that Sam Pittman made. But in terms of his pass protection, it's not the physicality. It's just, probably just understanding what to look for and, picking up where the bullets are coming from.
The newcomers, I'd start special teams, because I just think that's going to be some place where you see points on the board. And I guess it'll be Cam Little, Scotty. We've seen very little of the kicking part of practice, right? So we don't really know, but maybe Matthew Phillips is a guy that gives Cam a little run for his money. And I wouldn't suggest that he's a newcomer, but he is somebody that we don't really have a long history of watching him kick field goals. So that's the part to, you're going to see newcomers on special teams, but I think whoever the kicker is a significant development because of how many close games we expect to have, three, four, five games decided by the kicking game.
Another guy on special teams that, a newcomer who could factor in there is Bryce Stevens. He's had in high school, that was kind of his deal. Like, he was an explosive guy, make you miss in the open field. And Arkansas really needs that on special teams. Cause I think Traylon Burks had the most punt return yards in a season since like Joe Adams, and that was like a decade before him. And that was what Traylon did that, what, in 2019. And so you got to get some kind of pop, some kind of something, you know, just from your return guys. And, you know, I don't know how healthy or how confident they're going to be in putting Davion Warren back, you know, at kickoff return. So you might look at a guy like Bryce Stevens, maybe even Jaden Wilson back there. Those are two newcomers that I really like a lot at receiver.
I think going back to Cam Little for a minute, I remember he missed two field goals in the first open scrimmage of the spring. And then I think I read over the summer in a feature about him, maybe either he didn't miss a field goal the rest of the spring, or maybe he missed one more the rest of the spring. He was really consistent in practice for them. And, you know, the thing about a freshman kicker is that he's already got the leg. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, I think that it wouldn't surprise me if you see him kick a 50-something yarder. And as he gets older and more experienced, you know, in the program weight training, that, you know, he's going to be somebody that can certainly be a consistent kicker for them for quite some time. Let's move over to defense for a minute, guys, because there's three transfers on the defensive line: Trey Williams and Markel Etze from Missouri and John Ridgeway from Illinois State, who, whether they are starters or not, you got to figure that those three are going to factor into playing time there, Clay.
Trey Williams is the guy that I expect to be the big play dude out of that trio there, Williams, Utsi, and Ridgeway. But I think all three are going to get snaps, and you're going to play a four-man front. I think both Utsi and Ridgeway can play in the middle there, which is, you know, that's where you you lost your stud. I mean, it's without – Jonathan Marshall was the guy that played 90% of the snaps at that nose tackle spot. And you're going to play two tackles. So, you know, you've got, you know, Tarian Carter coming back and also Isaiah Nichols, but you're going to need some other guys. And I think Ridgeway and Utsi will both play in that role. I think Cam Ball is another one, you know. He's not a transfer. He's a freshman, but he's another guy that can play inside. He's got the size and the bulk. And we Scotty and I kind of marveled at his, you know, his upper body. His arms were just massive, and Tree Trunk is not even doing it justice. He's just huge arms.
I think you called them WWE arms, right? Do it justice. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about some of those wrestlers, that would be an apt comparison. But I think Trey Williams is the guy that can give them some pass rush. And that's the thing about this defense. If they can get a little pressure, I think that really helps their corners and their safeties, and where they don't have to cover so long. And that's been the knock of the Arkansas defense, is that you just kind of hang the secondary out to dry because nobody's ever going to touch the quarterback. But yeah, that's and then kind of stretching on to another guy that I really like that I saw in the spring, is Jaden Johnson, secondary. And I think that the only thing you ever worry about him is that he's going to grow into a linebacker, because he got to 220 pretty quick last spring after he arrived on campus. And they're like, okay, if you want to keep eating, just go right ahead and we'll make you an outside linebacker, which that's always kind of a luxury of having, you know, somebody that grows into a guy you can play in the box that has cover skills, you know, that you can play a lot of nickel packages with a guy like that.
At receiver, we think there's going to be, you know, multiple newcomers play at receiver. We've talked a couple of times on this podcast this preseason about Sam Pittman's comments of wanting to have nine receivers, and he feels like that's what an SEC roster has to have. And, you know, with the players that they have coming back, you believe that newcomers are going to have to factor into that position in order for them to get to nine. We mentioned Stevens. Keetron Jackson, there's a lot of expectations from him. And Jaquelin Crawford, the transfer from Oklahoma, you know, when you talk about transfers on this year's team, there's a lot. Jaquelin Crawford, Trent Gordon, the defensive back coming in from Penn State, Warren Thompson coming in from Florida State. I'm not sure those last two are going to play a whole lot this year, but Tykeese Crawford coming in from Charlotte. There's a lot of transfers on this team. You know, maybe outside of those defensive linemen, I'm not sure one could potentially impact the team any more than Crawford, at least among players who are eligible for the first time this year.
Yeah, you know, Jaquelin Crawford is an interesting guy to me at receiver. You know, he was a player who was going to be eligible for the Texas Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, and he, you know, probably could have used some of that game experience and, you know, used that to kind of get a really good in-game feel for what Kendall Browse is like. But, you know, the other day in the first bit of live action that we saw, you know, he was running with the first team, I believe. So I think the guys on the offensive side, you know, I think like what they're showing, or like what he's showing. My only concern with Jaquelin would be, you know, maybe strength to separate from receivers. You know, he's obviously, he's a burner. He's got great speed. Another thing would just be his hands. I was standing, you know, right next to the goal line one-on-ones the other day. He had a sure touchdown that just kind of slipped through his hands. But I think he's, if he, you know, kind of puts it all together, I think he could, obviously he could add another weapon to that room. And Keytron Jackson's a guy that I'm super excited about. I think he was Arkansas's highest rated recruit in the 2021 class. So out of those top two guys in that class were Keytron and AJ Green. And I really expect both of those guys to produce early.
Yeah, I'm with you, Scotty, on the hands deal. The scrimmages that I watched last spring, there were some drops. He caught a lot of passes. But if you're going to play that slot position, which I think that's where they've got him, that's a third down. You know, you cannot drop balls on third down. That takes you off the field. And he's got to prove that he can play that position. I think when Devion Warren gets going full speed and can play, you know, 40, 50 snaps in a practice, you know, he's still coming off that knee surgery. I think that's the position he and Crawford are probably going to trade off in. And Crawford needs to make the most of his time over the next 2 weeks while they're not, you know, they're not pushing Devion as much. So the wide receiver group, the guy that, and he's not a newcomer, and I know that's what this is about, but the guy that I just am fascinated with that I think is going to be the player that we write a lot about during the year is John David White, the Diesel, right? That's what.
That's it.
Where did he get the Diesel term, Scotty?
I don't know. I think it just kind of rolls off the tongue. J Diesel, like they call him JD. Why not J Diesel? I think he just brings so much energy and fire and kind of passion, grit to that room. I know that's a lot of football cliches, but I think he's got all of it. And I've seen him multiple times in those one-on-ones. And I know we can't put just a ton of stock into these one-on-ones, but I've seen him go against Jalen Catalon a couple times and he's won both of those reps. And so that tells me the kid's got some game to him. I just hope he can be, you know, Matt has mentioned before, Drew Morgan, maybe a similar type player who always stood out in practice, but can he translate it to the playing field? And I think this year, I think he's, you know, maybe got as good a shot as any year.
When I hear Diesel, I think of a diesel truck. He doesn't look, he doesn't remind me anything of that. It's such a random nickname, I feel like, for him. But the Clay's point, you know, he's not a newcomer, but he hasn't really played a whole lot. He had I can't remember if he had two catches or maybe he was the intended receiver on a couple of passes late in that LSU game a couple of years ago. But other than that, I don't remember him playing just a whole lot, Clay.
Yeah, what we saw in the spring was a significant upgrade in snaps and contributions, and he just seems to factor in every single scrimmage. You know, and we saw all those scrimmages last spring, which was kind of neat. And I think he had a decent spring game, and he always is open on a deep pass. I mean, and I saw him, you know, he's not the biggest guy. I saw him, you know, in some of the little hitches where he's got a block for Burks or somebody like that. And he was able to wall off his man and, you know, be a positive play. That was what I saw early last year that they could not do at the wide receiver position is block. And that's what you wonder with, you know, these newcomers, how, you know, it's like, yeah, they can catch it. They can get open, but they've got to block because a lot of those passes are little short hitches, either to the tight end or to the split end that's stepping back. And the success of that play is that blocker. So, you know, that's what they're trying to find out right now in a lot of these practices. And we don't see that part of the day, you know, who's the most physical and who's the most intense. And I guarantee you that catches the eye of the head coach, because he's putting his stamp on this team that it's going to be more physical. And it's just as much a part of the wide receiver game as any other part of the team.
Something else on JD is just like, he's got such sure hands. Like you target him, he's going to do everything he can to pull that ball down, and more than likely he's going to bring it down. And then something else that might help him is, you know, he's pretty tough for a guy that's his size. I don't think they have any problems with him, you know, in terms of like run blocking. I don't think they have any reservations about throwing him out there at this point.
Before we move on to linebackers, guys, just for fun, a quick question. I saw Tom Hart pose this on Twitter yesterday. Clay, what was the first college football game you ever attended?
Yeah, so I'm told that I was at the Cotton Bowl in 1960, Arkansas versus Duke. And I do barely remember the parade, because I saw the Duke band had blue cowboy hats with a D on them. And I was under impression that the D stood for Dallas, and I was corrected by my mother that those were Duke people. And so I know I was at that Cotton Bowl. I don't remember a lot about the game, other than I think we were bundled up and it was severely cold. But it's, you know, the games that I remember going to as a youth, you know, we lived about four or five blocks from War Memorial Stadium on Fair Park Boulevard, and my dad would somehow come up with some end zone tickets, and me and some of my friends would throw football all the way over there and get the football into the stands and pass it around in the south end zone where our seats were, you know. And I think there was always some concern among the people that we were sitting around that one of us was going to chunk it onto the field, but that never happened. But I do remember, it seems like it was a Texas Tech game that, you know, I sit in the stands with my friends, and I know that there were also a lot of games in Fayetteville that, you know, I sit with my mother, but that's my early remembrance of going to Razorback football games.
The MVP of that Cotton Bowl was Lance Allworth, even though Arkansas lost the game 7-6. He returned a punt for a touchdown that day.
I don't remember any of that, Matt.
You don't? I figured you might. My first game was September 11th, 1993. It was Arkansas and South Carolina in Fayetteville. It was the first time that South Carolina came here after they joined the SEC. It was Danny Ford's first SEC win. And two things I remember about that was that South Carolina had beaten Georgia on a goal line touchdown run with 2 seconds left the week before. So they came in ranked. And then Arkansas scored a couple of touchdowns in the fourth quarter to beat them. I think Oscar Malone scored the game winner with about a minute 57 left. And remember that being a big game. That was the first one I'd ever been to. I also remember Steve Tannehill's mullet blowing in the wind at Razorback Stadium, the South Carolina quarterback. Scotty, what was your first game?
I don't remember exactly what year it was, but I do remember the very first play of the game. Cedric Cobbs grabbed the kickoff and took it back for a touchdown.
I think that was Tennessee State, somewhere around 2000.
Yeah, yeah. So that sounds about right. My parents used to be in charge of the youth group at our church down in South Arkansas, and I think we got tickets on like an FCA weekend, something like that. And I think, if I remember right, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think we sat in the grass in what is now the north end zone. I think that's what we did. But yeah, I remember about the only thing I remember from that game is Cedric Cobbs taking one in the house.
Somebody, that's all, we posed this question on our message board. People started breaking it down between their first game in Fayetteville versus their first game in Little Rock. I'll tell you, my first game in Little Rock was 2002, the LSU game, the Miracle on Markham. And in 20 years, there has not been a game down there that's come anywhere close, I feel like, to matching the just everything that went into that game. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Every day this week and next, we are taking a deeper look at positions on the Razorbacks football team. And today we're going to talk about the Razorbacks linebackers. Michael Shearer is the first-year linebacker coach. He was on staff last year as a quality control type maybe graduate assistant. I'm not quite sure what his title was a year ago. Former linebacker, though, at Missouri, played for Barry Odom there. And now in his first year as a position coach, he met with the media the other day. And here were some highlights from that time.
Grant Morgan, he's kind of a different guy in terms of, I mean, we've seen some leaders come through here before, but he just seems like he's got the whole package, even the background coming from a walk-on. Is he unique in terms of, you know, what you see in terms of a guy that's, you know, a leader for a team?
Grant makes my job very easy. Especially, you know, like this summer, I know if I say, hey, Grant, get the guys together, do this, 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 and this, it's going to get done. It's going to get done right. And that's the same for all the seniors I have in my room. They're just great kids and really good leaders. And everyone in the room looks up to them and they do the right thing and they play well. So, you know, Grant is not only the leader of our room, he's the leader of our team. And that's just who he is. You know, it's what you see is what you get with him. So, you know, he just, I can't say enough good things about him, to be honest with you. He makes my life very easy.
Michael, I'm sure you guys did a study on the optimal reps for Grant Morgan and Bumper. What's the conclusion of that? How much do they need to play to be for you guys to be successful? And how much do the backups need to play?
Well, we play in a very physical, tough league. And the greatest thing that I think I walked into with this room is I have a bunch of kids who have the ability to play at a really high level. You know, you can go down the list. You got Grant, you got Bumper, you got Hayden Henry, who's playing really good. All three of those guys are playing extremely well right now. And then throw in D.D. Edwards in there and Andrew Parker. That's five really solid guys who can go in the game at any time. So, you know, that'll help provide depth. And also, as we go throughout the season, it's going to help everyone in our room out to be able to rotate those guys in the game. Just because, you know, we have guys that are fresher and, you know, I thought as I looked at last season through the games, as you get to the fourth quarter, when the guys we have are playing every single rep, you notice that they start to get tired in the fourth quarter. Well, now we have plenty of guys that we have that can come contribute to where I know if a guy gets tired, I'll just take him out, put another one in, and I won't bat an eye.
Clay, this is a position at linebacker where I'm not sure they return more experience, you know, collectively at any other position on the team. Grant Morgan had the breakout season last year, All-America type season. Bumper Pool obviously is experienced. And then there are a lot of players, but there are players behind them now that you feel are capable of playing. What are your thoughts about the linebackers this season? And do you think Grant Morgan, can he replicate what he did last year?
Well, he can if he stays healthy. That's the only disclaimer about that. And I think Bumper Pool will have have a good year as well. And Hayden Henry, that's the situation always with linebackers, is they're going to hit somebody on every play. And, you know, will their shoulders hold up? You know, their elbows, shoulders, you know, it's a war. I mean, you got to tackle and you've got to engage. And, you know, there are times where they're going to be blocked by 320 pounders. You know, the inside linebackers are opposite those guards and they're going to have people diving at their feet. So, you know, you get rolled up. That's the deal. But the critical aspect of this team for years has been who is going to play behind the starting linebackers. And, you know, I've sit in the press box for years, SEC games, and you see a first team linebacker go out and you watch the guy come in, and it will be one play later, a play will be designed to run right at that guy and see if he can make a play. And if they can't, they will run that play or a similar play in that area, either a run or a pass, to take advantage of the new player. And I feel like Arkansas is finally at a position where, or let's just say a status where the backup linebackers, Andrew Parker, D.D. Edwards, Hayden Henry, where those guys can make plays. I was really surprised and pleased with the way I saw the backup linebackers play in the spring. And I give Michael Shearer a lot of credit for shoring up that position and teaching those guys angles and the ability to slip blocks and just play in that system that Barry Odom, you know, ran at Missouri and Michael Shearer knows so well.
And I wanted to ask you about that. What are the benefits, you think, to having a player who's not only played in, you know, an Odom defense, but has done it so recently, that, you know, in terms of being able to teach the players on this year's team.
Yeah, I think that's there's something to it, but I think that Shearer is just a natural coach, and I don't want to say that, you know, he's going to be a head coach in 2 or 3 years, but I think he's the kind of guy that at some point will be a head coach or a coordinator, and he's far advanced as far as what his age is, and I would compare, you know, the way you know, Frank Burrows was as a 21, 22 year old and already being a successful assistant coach at Baylor when he was an offensive coordinator. It's right after the war. And in many cases, he was younger than his players. And I don't think they even knew how young he was, but Michael Shearer does not act like a kid. Let's just put it that way. He does not look like he's overmatched in his role as linebacker coach in this defense. And I think they, you know, they saw that in the little experiment that they had. You know, he was the guy that got elevated when Sam Pittman was out was it the Florida game where he did not travel, did not coach that week. And so they elevated Shearer to an assistant coach position and he coached the linebackers. And too bad for Ryan Rhodes, because it wasn't too long after that that Michael Shearer's got his job.
It seems like a name I've seen mentioned in practice reports quite a bit this preseason is Deion Edwards, D.D. Edwards, whatever you want to call him. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, in that first bit of live work that we saw, he comes away with an interception on the – I think he was playing third team linebacker. I think he was alongside Jackson Woodard, if I'm not mistaken. He just kind of seems to – you could probably say this about a lot of the guys in a linebacker's room, because this is what you want out of your linebackers, but he just kind of has a nose for the ball and right place, right time, obviously on that pick. And I mentioned it earlier in the week too, that, you know, he's got really good pursuit to the sideline. Like, he's got pretty good speed and Sam Pittman likes that. Michael Shearer told this story the other day. He was like, as soon as I found out that I was probably going to get this job, you know, we kind of forget that Deion Edwards kind of flirted with the transfer portal and, you know, had his name in there, opted to come back. But that was one of the first things that Michael Shearer said that he did, was reach out to Didi to get him back on board and be like, look, man, like, we can use what you bring. Everybody's got value. I don't know if y'all saw that Ernie Johnson clip when he was speaking to Alabama the other day, but it is so true. Like, everybody's got value, and it's not just, it's on the field. Like, Didi is a guy that hosts recruits all the time, and Grant Morgan and Hayden Henry went on and on about his personality, that, you know, he may not speak like you, come from the same place as you, but everybody relates to him, and great teammate. And, you know, I think he's, like I said the other day, I think he's probably your number four linebacker right now. And that's a pretty good place to be, because you feel good about your top three. And, it, you know, it takes a special kind of crazy, I think, to be, you know, a linebacker in the SEC. And I think, you know, I think we'll probably see more out of Didi Edwards this year. He's had a pretty good fall camp to this point. Everybody's spoken really highly of what he brings.
What he brings is a former defensive back that you can play nickel coverage and he can cover a back or a slot as in cover skills. And that's the real value of Didi Edwards. You know, and Scotty mentioned, you know, breaking up passes or interceptions. That's what he's going to bring to this defense that maybe some of the other guys can't bring.
Clay, I mean, do you think I'm wrong that these linebackers are asked to play in coverage more than maybe they expected to when they came here under a former defensive coordinator, whether it be Paul Rhodes or John Chavis? I mean, we saw a lot of times last year where Arkansas's, you know, defensive game plan was to drop eight in coverage, rush three, and they had some success doing that at times.
Yeah, I think so. And now they're probably going to play more of a four-man front, but it's the pass in college football, it's, you know, there was, you know, I'll just go back to Scooter Harris, and Scooter could stop the run. I mean, he played downhill, and you love what, but teams would put him in one-on-one matchups where he had to cover somebody in the flat, and then they would show play action fake, and he would bite, and he's a step off. And though, you know, when the guy made the cut, there's Scooter coming to make the tackle, but he's 2 yards off the play. That can't happen. I mean, they've got, you know, you're in man-to-man linebacker with the back. And if he fakes a run, you still have to be careful that that's not a pass and they're targeting you. So I think you're right, Matt.
Scotty, you said that it takes a special kind of crazy to play in the SEC. And I think Hayden Henry might qualify after hearing him talk about why he's such a hard hitter. Take us through that story, just so people know that his dad is Mark Henry, the former offensive line at Arkansas, who's a pastor now. But tell us what his dad used to tell him to do.
Yeah, so when Hayden was growing up, you know, he said they spent some time in Atlanta, and I don't know what kind of player Hayden was before this, but his dad used to tell him that if you make a kid cry, if you knock a kid out of a game or knock him out of a practice, then he was going to take Hayden to Dairy Queen afterwards. So that's what Hayden, he would go to practice and he was headhunting. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And because he wanted that Oreo Blizzard from Dairy Queen. I think this is probably a good NIL opportunity for Hayden Henry now. He's given Dairy Queen a shout out, but I've totally forgotten about that story because last year, I think this was you attached this photo to the story that I wrote about Hayden the other day, where Hayden, what did he get? He got ejected for disqualified for targeting on Mac Jones in the Alabama game. So Alabama fans were coming after Hayden pretty good and talking about how dirty Hayden was and all that. It was like, where did you learn this? And he was like, yeah, it was from my dad. Like he's going to take me to Dairy Queen after this game too.
Got to love that. I think that, Jalen Catalan told me that he's still a little bit disappointed with his man Hayden because it cost him that interception. You know, it says there weren't very many interceptions of Mac Jones last year, and that targeting, and I don't think the he'd already thrown the ball, the interception. It didn't change the play, but it did erase an interception.
Yeah, he's just you look at players nowadays, like you're not super surprised if you see like arm sleeves, wristbands, like the little skinny bicep bands, all that stuff. All Hayden Henry needs is his uniform, his helmet, his cleats. Like he doesn't need any of the gloves and he doesn't need any tape other than just around his fingertips. Like he's old school throwback. And Michael Scherer kind of likened him to Bobby Boucher the other day. He's just a little bit smarter than Bobby.
Yeah, I think that we need Michael Scherer when he makes that kind of a quote to do the defensive coordinator from the Water Boy, you know, where you can't understand any of it. I would love Michael Scherer to break down in that. Well, maybe that's Barry Odom's job to be
Farmer Fran.
Talking undiscernible words.
But I'd like to see Hayden Henry show up to practice on his lawnmower one day. Maybe that would be something to see. Clay, one more thing before we get out of here. Grant Morgan obviously is the leader of the linebacker group. Last year, I felt like even though he had the great season, 111 tackles, and he didn't even play in one of the games, I still felt like maybe he was a little underappreciated outside of Arkansas. You were on the All-America, you know, committee last year, and whether or not you want to share some of the discussions that you guys had about him being an All-American, you know, that's at your discretion. He didn't win the Burlsworth Trophy. We thought, you know, there was a really good chance that he would win the Burlsworth Trophy as the best player who began as a walk-on, ended up going to the offensive lineman from Pittsburgh. Do you think maybe the reason he came back is that there's some motivation to, you know, maybe prove something that he wasn't able to prove last year?
Well, I think that's what he's about. I think it's always about proving somebody wrong. And, you know, I talked to him about the Burlsworth Award and the Burlsworth Trophy and not getting it. And he was, you know, he was not disappointed in that he did not let's just say this. Those two guys both were deserving. He studied it. They both were drafted. There's nothing he can say anything other than those were two great players and they deserve it too. But what he did tell me, which was very interesting, it tells you a lot about Grant Morgan's makeup, is that in his estimation, in his mind, he lost something. He did not win. He lost. And he does not like to lose. And he wanted to come back and win something. And he thinks that he has a chance to do that. And it's the same thing with the team awards or team Vic. You know, they lost too much last year in his estimation. 3-7, that's not it. And so he wanted to come back. But Grant Morgan, Hayden Henry, Didi Edwards, those are three of those guys that, you know, came back for, you know, whatever you want to call it, fifth year, sixth year, you know, the COVID year. And I give Michael Shearer a lot of credit because they wanted to play for him. And I think Grant Morgan is the guy on this team. He is, you know, he's the spirit. He is the fighting Razorback. I can remember Fred Goldsmith said, hey, you got to have 11 fighting Razorbacks to win. You're going to be a little undersized. You're going to be missing this. Maybe you're not going to have all five stars. You'll have an Atwater or Wayne Martin, but you got to have Grant Morgan's if you're going to win. And hey, I love to put my binoculars on him and watch him on a play. You will not be disappointed.
If you want to go to wholehogsports.com, look for the story that's titled Morgan Retains Winner Mentality. Really good feature on him and about how he was more comfortable at SEC Media Day maybe than some of the coaches who were down there. Tells you a little bit about his personality and his makeup. Go over to wholehogsports.com. As we said this evening, we'll have a recap of what we're able to see from the Razorbacks' first day in full pads. Also a recap of what Sam Pittman has to say after the practice. For Clay Henry and Scotty Bordelon, I am Matt Jones. We'll have another podcast on Friday. We'll see you then. Thanks for joining us.
The proceeding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.